Dvar Torah today. So this Shabbos is Shabbos Tshuva, so I thought it would be kedai to talk a little bit about Tshuva before we get into the Gemara. You know, when we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in so many different ways, because we can't really understand Hashem. We don't know what Hashem is, so we use all sorts of different mishalim to relate to how we're supposed to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu exactly. For example, every single day in our Shemoneh Esrei, Hashiveinu Avinu B'Sarasecha. We refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Avinu. He's a father, because we know that a father is an authority figure, a father is one who nurtures us, who cares for us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all of those things, so we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a certain sense as Avinu. But we also then say, V'Karveinu Malkeinu L'Avodasecha. That Malkeinu, our Melech, why? Because the Melech is a super authority figure. He has complete rule over us. He lays down the law. If we're married to Malchus, we could be in deep trouble. And all of this relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. So we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in these two distinct ways, Avinu and Malkeinu. And in fact, during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, every single day, we keep relating to him in those two ways, Avinu, Malkeinu. He is both our father and he is our Melech. But what's curious to me is that when we relate to Avinu, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha, when we relate to Avinu, we specifically ask about a connection to Torah. And when we relate to a Melech, then it's Avoda. So I got the Melech and Avoda part, because one is an Eved to a Melech. But why is Avinu and Torasecha necessarily connected? Why is our connection to Torah, why does that relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role as Avinu, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role as our Father? Second question. In Rosh Hashanah, we said the phrase several times throughout Musaf, Hayom Haras Olam. We refer to that whole paragraph of how Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the creation of the world, or whatever Haras Olam means. And then we talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu again about how we relate to him and how he relates to us. And we say, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, im kevanim, if we are your children, what do we say? What's the rest of the phrase? That's the second. Rachameinu kirachem av albanim. Have rachmanus, like a father has rachmanus for his children. V'im ka'avadim, and if we're like avadim, then einenu lecha tulios. Then we look up to you, our eyes are gazing up at you. You ever see a young child, look at his father before he gets to the age where he thinks his father knows nothing? You know, like a little kid, like that, like all he wants to be like a little mini me of his father. You know, whatever his father does, if his father, you know, puts on talis and tefillin, the kid wants a toy talis and tefillin to pretend that he's like his father. If his father curses like a sailor, the kid curses like a sailor. He's got to be exactly like his father. He wants to be just like his father. His father's his hero. And you look at how a kid like that looks at his father. It's a name of luchatulios at his father, not just at an eved to a melech. Why is it that only when it's an eved to a melech, a name luchatulios? A small child looks up to his father with a sense of dependence, and there's a sense of comfort in his father's presence. So one would hope that both banim and avadim should be a name luchatulios. No, but only im ka'avadim, then einein l'chatzlius. What's that about? And the third question. There's a very popular practice to give tzedakah in the zuchus of Rabbi Meir Balanes. You familiar with this practice? It's supposedly a segula to find things. No? Anyone know about this? Yeah, it's a segula to find things. My wife lost her car keys last week and had her office keys and everything on it, and she was very bothered by it. So when I left the house, she did this the skula, and sure enough, she found her car keys, which she would have found anyway. But Baruch Hashem, she did a mitzvah of tzedakah. It's wonderful. I said, did you like say anything? Tell me you didn't like daven to Rav Meir. She's like, no, I only daven to God. I can't do that. But there's this idea of giving tzedakah dafka in the zuchus of Rabbi Meir. What's the connection between Rabbi Meir and tzedakah? So to answer these three questions, again, why is it Avinu l'sarasecha? What's the connection between Av and Torah? Why is it that Einenu l'chaslius only for Avadim? And why is tzedakah associated with Rabbi Meir? And tzedakah, obviously, this time of year, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, we pointed out several times already, it's a very big inyan to give tzedakah dafka during this time of year. But what's the connection between tzedakah and Rameir? So I think to answer these questions, it's important to know three distinct ideas, and then when they all come together, it helps answer all these three questions. Idea number one. There is a Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Vav that records a machlokas between, important to remember the players over here, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir holds that whether we are osin ritzono shel makom or whether we are not osin ritzono shel makom, whether the Jewish people act like we are supposed to or whether we don't act like we are supposed to, we are always banim lamakom. We are always HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. A disobedient child is a child nonetheless. So Rabbi Meir says, we're always considered banim lamakom. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Our relationship as banim lamakom depends on our behavior. If we are osin ritzono shel makom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us like banim. But bizman she'ein osin ritzono shel makom, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu look at us? Not like banim. What's the other option? Avadim. Exactly. We are like avadim. That's the machlokas. So in Rabbi Yehuda's view, Hashem views Klal Yisrael, when we're not living up to the standards that we're supposed to of Torah, as avadim and not banim. That's yesod number one. Yesod number two. There's a halacha in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Kuf Ayin Hei, called Dina de Bar Metzra. It appears in a couple of places in Shas. What's Dina de Bar Metzra? Anyone familiar with this din?
The ability to request, to command to have boundary land.
Good. When you sell your house, right of refusal has to go to the neighbor first. Before you sell it to anyone else, you got to give it to the neighbor who's in closest proximity. He should have the right to buy that house first. And no one else is permitted to buy it unless they've been assured that the neighbor has been given the opportunity and has turned down the opportunity. That's a din called Din of the Bar Metzra. There's a major exception to the Din of Dina. There are a few exceptions. But one of the major exceptions to the Din of Dina de Bar Metzra is if children are selling their father's property. Let's say a man dies and he has a couple of children. One of them is selling the father's property. Before he goes to the neighbor, he should go to the other child. If it's a father's property, then it has to go to children first. Even if the distance, the physical distance of where that child is, may be very great, doesn't matter, it's his property to turn down first. Rav Moshe Bick, Zichron Levrach, explained that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us the Torah, the Malachim came with the Taina of Dina de Bar Metzra. Unbelievable, no? How did the Malachim, what did the Malachim say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have the Torah up here right now, right? It's your Torah. Who's closest to you right now? Who's closest to the Torah right now? Is it us, the Malachim, or is it the people down there on earth? We're the Bar Metzra. We're the ones who are closest to the Torah. That was their Taina. And what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response? Yeah, but there's an exception to being the Bar Metzra. And that is when it's the children buying the father's estate. No matter how far away they are, the children always get the first right of refusal. And that's what the Mishnah in the third paragraph of Avos tells us. Chaviv in Yisrael shenikru banim lamakom. Klal Yisrael is so beloved, we're considered banim lamakom. Very next line, Chaviv in Yisrael shenitel lahem klei chemda. Yisrael is so beloved, we've been given the Torah. What does one have to do with the other? Oh, because we are banim lamakom, that was our whole taina, that was our whole claim on the Torah. The very reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah is because we are banim. That's our claim to the Torah. Point number three. There is a Gemara Maseches Baba Basra Daf Yud that records a dispute, a debate between Tirnasrofus HaRasha and Rabbi Akiva. Very famous conversation. Shaul Tirnas Rav HaRasha is Rabbi Akiva. Tirnas Rav HaRasha asks Rabbi Akiva, Im Elokeichem Oev Aniyim Hu, if your God really loves poor people, and you know, your God is supposed to be all-powerful and almighty and able to do anything, so he has a very simple solution how to take care of poor people. You know what he should do? What should he do? Make them rich. Amai eino mefarnesam. Why doesn't he make them self-sufficient? Why doesn't he give them stuff? Why do we have to do it? Amar lo, Rabbi Kiva says, it's not for the poor people that we have a mitzvah of tzedakah. It's kedei shenitzal anu bahem midina shel gehenim. Hashem gave us a mitzvah of tzedakah for us, not for them. Our way out of gehenim is by giving tzedakah. Amar lo, Tanu Sarva says, no, adarabba, zusha mechayavtan legehenim. Tanu Sarva says, no, in my philosophical view, if you take care of those that God doesn't want to take care of, you deserve gehenim. Because what's the thing he says? I'll give you a mashal. Imagine a king, a melech bas avadom, shekos al avdo, gets angry at his eved, v'chavsho beis asurin, and banishes him to a jail. And he wants to starve him to death. And someone secretly behind the king's back goes and keeps slipping this guy food. Don't you think the king is going to get angry at the person who's taking care of this eved that the king is trying to punish? So that's exactly what's going on over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing the poor people. And here you are slipping them money and food and giving them things that they need. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get angry at you. What's Rabbi Kiva's response? You got the wrong mashal. I'll explain to you with a different mashal. Almost the same, just change one factor. What factor does it change? Who remembers the Gemara? What? It's not an Eved, it's a son. A king gets angry, not at his eved, at his son. And he, in a fit of rage, not thinking, he locks him up in jail, and says, no one should give him to eat or to drink. But you know he's going to regret this tomorrow, he's going to regret this in a week from now when his son isn't here anymore. So you save the king from himself. And you feed the son. Don't you realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to want, the melech is going to want to give a gift to the person who had the foresight to take care of the son of the king when the king refused to? Says Rabbi Akiva, that's why our mitzvah tzedakah makes sense. Which comes out remarkable. It turns out that according to this Gemara, according to Rabbi Akiva, the mitzvah of tzedakah only makes sense if the Jewish people are considered sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the sons and daughters of the Ribbono Shel Olam. If we're considered Avadim, then Tanu Sarva is right, and Rabbi Akiva sort of admitted to that. He says, yeah, if we were Avadim, then you'd be right, but it's only because we are Banim that Tzedakah makes sense. So three Yesodos again. What are the three Yesodos? One Yesod, according to Rabbi Meir, we're always Banim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, sometimes banim, sometimes avadim. Yesod number two, our entire claim to Torah is in the fact that we are banim taking the father's estate. Otherwise, the malachim would have a din of bar mitzvah. Yesod number three, the mitzvah of tzedakah only makes sense if we're considered banim lamakom, but not if we're considered avadim. When you put those three together, the answers to the questions that we began with become clear. Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha. Well, that's the most obvious one. Why is it that we refer to Hashem as avinu when we talk about the Torah? Because our entire claim to the Torah, to counter the claim of the malachim of dina d'bar metzra, is that we are banim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's only on account of the fact that God is Avinu that we can say, L'sarasecha, return us to your Torah. Second, the Satmar Rebbe explains, Gemara in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel says, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir, because Galiv Yodua Lefnei Misha Amar Vahaya Olam She'ein B'doro Shal Rabbi Meir Kamosa. Meaning, in general, Machlok Shal Meir Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Why, says the Gemara? Because Rabbi Meir was a genius. Wait, shouldn't that be a reason to pass on like Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir was a genius. So that's why we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. What's wrong with being a genius? So what's the explanation? We can't follow it, exactly. We can't follow his thinking. So we can never assess his thinking because we can't follow it. We can't really see His mind just went in so many directions, in so many places, and we just can't. That's why we don't pass like Rav Meir. But he was a greater genius. It would stand to reason that klape mala, says the Satmar Rebbe, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's certainly capable of understanding Rav Meir's reasoning, and the halacha would probably follow Rav Meir up in Shemayim. So the Rebbe explains, that's the meaning of the tefillah we say in Rosh Hashanah. Im kivanim rachameinu kirachem av alabanim. If we're sons, so we ask Hashem, treat us as such. And if Hashem is viewing us as our vadim, we remind him, lecha einenu tulios. We remind him, Ribono Shalom, you can only treat us like avadim if you're looking from a this-worldly perspective. Because only in this world do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. In this world we say that sometimes we're avadim. But remember, Kiddush Lamed Vav, Yisod number one, Rav Meir holds. What does Rav Meir hold? We're always banim. So Ribono Shalom, lecha einin etlios. We're asking to look from your perspective. So if you're looking at us like avadim, stop looking at us like avadim. Paskin like Rav Meir, like you should, Lamaila. In light of the Gemara in Bava Basra, that the mitzvah of tzedakah only makes sense if we're banim lamakom, we understand the minhag very well of giving tzedakah in the zchus of Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir is the one that holds that we're always banim. The Gemara in Bava Basra says tzedakah only makes sense if we're banim. So we give tzedakah, dafka, in the zchus of Rabbi Meir. I think one of the things that we sometimes lose this time of year, one of the perspectives that we sometimes lose, in all of the proper and appropriate and good focus of being mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is what Rosh Hashanah is really all about, it's malchus, it's declaring malchus shemayim, we forget the other relationship. We forget that we're also banim to an av. We forget the warmth of the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We forget the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. And that often is a more powerful force to inspire tshuva than the Eved relationship. You know what's more powerful mashpia on a person? The fear of getting punished by someone more powerful, by an authority figure, or the fear of disappointing someone that you know loves you and that you know cares about you? So the truth, more effective in the short term, probably the first. Fear of immediate punishment from someone who's more powerful. So more in the short term, what's going to stop me right now from doing an Aveira? What's going to stop me right now from, you know, doing the wrong thing is that rod that's right over me. But in the long term, relationship building, in terms of what's going to promote a lifetime of proper behavior, the love is going to be a much more powerful force. The sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an Av, rather than HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Melech, ultimately is what we need to strive for. My good friend Rabbi Yechiel Weberman told me once that when he was in Camp Dora Golding for the summer, there was a Torah incentive program for the campers. And they collected the most dollars by doing a variety of mitzvahs, could redeem the dollar coupons for prizes. It was like a whole summer long, which these things are always a disaster because you have to save them for the whole summer, and then there's always a bunch of kids, oh, but I had a million of them, and I lost all of them, and then, oh, he's crying, and like, what do? Do you just give him a million free? Do you believe him? Do you not believe? It's always difficult. So the child of one of the camp directors spent the entire summer collecting his dollars, and he put them all in his pants pocket, put his pants in the wash, and all of the dollar coupons were destroyed. I would imagine much of the wash was destroyed as well. And he was hysterical. After all of that work, he lost all of his coupons. So he went crying to his older sister. Now, his older sister was someone who had been looking for a shidduch for some time. And she was struggling with this whole shidduch scene. And she was starting to get depressed by the entire process. So the truth is, you know, when you have bigger fish to fry and a little kid's crying about his dollar coupons, you know, sometimes some older sister might be like, look, I got real problems, all right? You know, leave me alone. But she didn't take that tactic. She related to her brother and she saw him crying and she reminded him, your father runs the whole camp. You know, like he literally prints him. You know, if you need more dollars, your father runs the whole camp. And she said that as she was saying those words, your father runs the entire program. It reminded herself that what's she so worried about? What's she so, all of her problems, everything she's nervous about, her father also runs the entire program. Avinu Shabashamayim, he's not just a melech. He's not some old man in heaven trying to throw down lightning bolts at us. It's Avinu, it's a father. And that provided with a sudden sense of comfort. After all the struggle with dating and whatever else adults genuinely struggle with, all the stresses of classes and tests and this and that, all the struggles, sometimes all you have to remember is our father runs the entire program. And that itself should provide a deep sense of comfort and confidence. I'll close with this. I was reading from Rav Nevin Sal in his Sefer Yerushalayim B'Mo'adeh on Yom Noraim. They have a whole bunch of short shalos and tshuvas, like Rav Chaim Kanievsky style. I mean, not exactly. It wasn't one-word answers. It was like four-word answers, usually, like five-word answers. But that style. So someone asked, I don't really get the question, but someone asked Rav Nevin Sal about, you know, being mochel other people. They asked him, do parents have to be mochel their children during Aseres Yemei Tshuva? So Rav Nevin Sal responded, only if they want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mochel them. And the point that he's trying to make is, what do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to us? He's a parent. The first thing he's going to look at is how, you know, we treat other people. And then he'll say, okay, so should I have rachmanis? And then, if we can't have rachmanis on other people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to have any rachmanis on us. This highlighted to me this idea that during this time of year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, he's a melech, and we spent 2 days talking about what a melech he is. Let's try to make sure during our Aseres Yemei Tshuva we remember what a father he is as well.